You know, Matt, what you said is the truth. But these things don't happen by accident. We don't look on our children and our young people as sources of trouble. We look on them as sources of blessings. And they respond to that. And we treat our elderly people well, too. I mean, it's not as though we've picked out those particular age groups. I've studied the Bible a lot, and if I understand it, we are all in Christ, we're one. All in Christ, we're one. We're not male nor female nor Jew nor Greek or young person or old person or middle-aged person. We're all one in Christ, and for that I thank God. Well, it's a great service we've had. I hate to ruin it with a sermon. Let's look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, which introduces us to the providence of God. Paul wrote, "But you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." Now, let's look at verse 18. "What then?" Question. "Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and therein do rejoice, and I therein do rejoice, and will rejoice." Now, when we look at what brought Paul to Rome, we understand that he had been arrested for his preaching of Christ, which the Roman Empire would let you worship whatever God you wanted to worship. And it was not penalized. It was not against the law. But there was one thing that they would not accept, and that is when you tried to get people to change over to your religion, what we call proselyting. If the Jews would just mind their own business and be Jews, that's happy. If the pagans would just mind their own business and offer their offerings to the gods and goddesses, that's fine. But if you tried to change someone from one religion to another, that created problems within the empire, and they refused to have that happen. So Paul had been preaching one God. He'd been preaching the resurrection of the dead, and he'd been preaching that Jesus Christ was the only way to heaven and the only way you could please God, and the only way that God would accept worship was from someone through Christ. Well, this is what brought Paul to Rome. He had been arrested, and Paul said, "I'm a Roman citizen, and I appeal to Rome." And that brought him to the very center of the Roman Empire. And we'll find out this morning that it also brought him in contact with those in Caesar's palace. Let's stop for a minute and think. Would Paul have ever gone to Rome to preach the gospel? Well, he said, "I intend to. It's my intention. I really intend." In his letter to the Romans, he said, I plan on coming to Rome. It's been my desire to come to Rome." But Paul had been busy in other places, and some way, somehow, he just hadn't gotten to the point where he could go to the city of Rome and visit the believers there in that church. And Paul is writing to the Philippians, who have sent him help. And they've been his friends and his supporters ever since they learned of Paul and who he was and what he did. And they have a great relationship. Paul says, "You're always in my heart, and I'm always in your heart. We love each other. We care for one another. And your care has bloomed and blossomed into something tangible. You've helped me financially to bear the burden that I have as a preacher, a missionary, someone who's traveling extensively and preaching the word of God. He said, even in my bonds, that is when I was chained in a Roman cell, you still sent one with love gifts to me so I could have money to buy food and to have warm clothing. And so as Paul wrote of these things, he said, but I want you to understand, brethren, that is, I want you to have a complete and full understanding of the entire situation, of all of the complex circumstances in which I found myself and in which you have sent offerings to me and had a part. I want you to understand one thing, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Sometimes we talk about collateral damages. That is, we have something started and we didn't really understand that it was going to create waves all around us. We understand that with our environment now, that you can't just do anything you want to, because what you do here with this may affect something else that is very important also. Paul said, I want y'all not to feel sorry for me. I don't want you to think that I'm complaining about anything, that I'm unhappy, that I'm disturbed. I'm really not. Paul said, because what really happened to me and brought me to the city of Rome has fallen out. It's been a byproduct of what I thought would happen and how I thought I might get to Rome. And here's the byproduct that Paul spoke of, the furtherance of the gospel. Paul, when he was sent to Rome, didn't sit in his cell and feel sorry for himself and believe that God had done him wrong and believe that people had abandoned him and God had abandoned him, and he could have sat in that jail cell and had a pity party after another pity party for himself and have adopted the attitude, well, God, since you wouldn't care for me and I'm here and I'm suffering, I don't know whether I want to be a preacher of the gospel. So I just shut down. That's what Paul could have done. Paul said, that's not what happened. If you send me to jail in Rome, I'll preach to the Roman soldiers. And that's what he did. I will not cease to preach the gospel of the Son of God. And do you know why Paul was so insistent that that must happen? Because he said, as he wrote to the Romans in Romans chapter 1, verse 14, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the believers. Paul said, I'm not ashamed, I'm not embarrassed, I've never been disappointed in what can happen when I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Preaching the gospel has never embarrassed me, humiliated me, or brought me shame. It's always vindicated me and my message, and vindicated God who sent me to preach, and vindicated the offering of Jesus Christ. And so he said, because of that, so that in my bonds for Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. Now this is Caesar's palace. Because I'm in jail, Caesar has heard someone articulate why I am in prison, and in articulating why I'm in prison, they had to tell him, well, Paul's in prison because this is what he says, Your Majesty. He says that the Jews are the people of God, and that there was a child born of a virgin in one of the provinces that over which we rule, Judea. And they say that this Jewish boy grew up and he fulfilled the expectations of Israel. He's what they call their Messiah, or the one who would deliver them. And, Your Honor, whether it's true or not, I do not know, but I know a lot of people believe this. They believe that this man, I believe his name was Jesus. He's referred to as Christ, the Anointing One. Sir, they preach that even though we crucified him and we nailed him to a cross, and to make sure he was dead, a soldier thrust a spear into his side, and we allowed someone to take him. I believe it's a rich man named Arimathea. You may have heard of him, sir. He put him in his grave. And the Jewish authorities were so afraid that his disciples would steal his body and claim that he was resurrected. We set a guard to watch it, sir. We weren't going to allow that to happen. But for some reason, the guards fell asleep. I really couldn't tell you what, but they claim that this Jesus was resurrected from the grave. Now, sir, that's what they're saying all over the empire. Why, it's spreading everywhere. And that's why Paul is here, and that's why he has appealed to you, sir, for justice. That's the message that he preaches, and he preaches that if people will trust Christ, their sins will be forgiven. They'll be made right with God. And after death, no matter how they died or how long they've been dead, they'll be raised from the dead, and they will be with the true and living God forever. Sir, that's what Paul preached. That's how Paul himself did not perhaps say why he was there, but it was rumored why he was there. And it is possible, and I think the scriptures prove it, that some of the people who were the bodyguards and the servants, body servants of Caesar, that they became Christians. And the soldiers who were chained with Paul, one on either side, are made to stay there with him so he could not escape. He preached the gospel to these men, and they believed. And as far as I can tell from history, these soldiers were then sent to Wales, where they were a part of a group of soldiers who occupied Wales in what's now England. And that's how the gospel was spread to the Welsh. Isn't it amazing how God's providence works? We're doing the worst thing we can to this human, and he's claiming it's the best thing that ever happened to him. How can this be? And Paul said, hey, I can explain it easy because wherever I am, I get to preach the gospel. And the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. So you can't shut me up, and you can't shut me in. I'm going to preach. So don't feel sorry for me because Caesar's heard it in his palace, and then this all-inclusive and in all other places. Why was the talk of the town when you went to buy groceries? They were gossiping about this so-called Jesus and the gospel and how to be saved and all that stuff. It's so interesting because it's so contradictory to what we've always been taught and what we've believed. Now, Paul said there are some people who have really been encouraged by what's happened to me. He said, so that in my bonds for Christ, they're manifest in all the palace and in all other places, and many, it doesn't give us a definite figure, but many of the brethren in the Lord waxing confident, which means being filled with courage. Being filled with courage because they have seen me in my chains and are much more bold to speak the word without fear. It seems that there were Christian brethren in Rome who had not been declaring the gospel as publicly as they should because they feared what Caesar might do to them. But since Paul had been brought to Rome and he continued to preach the gospel with great boldness, then they decided, this is what we should be doing. And look what Paul is doing, even in prison. Why should we fear what Caesar can do to us. So they took courage and it spread the gospel. Sometimes we get the idea that we get transferred to another city or we get sent somewhere in the military or whatever life may in some way cause us to react to it and have to go hither and yon. And that's how the gospel was spread, by faithful people. You didn't have to be a preacher, but by faithful preacher. I know that our work in Japan was started by a military person, a man in the army who was there right after the surrender had been signed. He was one of the first one in and occupying Japan, and he was a Baptist preacher, Eugene Reagan. So he started with the soldiers first and then with the citizens. And that's how there are many churches of our faith in Japan now, because a man was in the military and he kept his faith and he kept preaching the gospel even there. Now he said, one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely. And I really think what Paul is saying is there are people out gossiping and telling people, here's what Paul believes and here's what Paul preaches, and let me tell you about this doctrine that he teaches. Paul said, I don't care if they're telling exactly what I preach, then although they are preaching it out of contention and argument, and they don't even believe it, they're spreading the gospel without even knowing it. You remember when Paul appeared before Felix and when he appeared before Agrippa and he told them what he believed, and they said, well, this is over our head, but you know, Paul, I could just almost become a believer over what you're saying. So wherever he was, he defended the gospel. Well, here's someone who wants to spread the gospel about what Paul is saying and what Paul, why is in prison. So they're repeating the death, burial, and resurrection. And Paul said, that doesn't really bother me because they're preaching out of envy and strife. That is because they're jealous and because they want to stir up trouble. And some also of goodwill. They're just not really against it, and they're really not for it, that they have at least a goodwill toward it. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely. That is, he's faking it. You know, one of the earliest churches in America was started by a man who came to America, and his dad was a Baptist preacher in England, and he came to America. And one of his favorite things to do was get on a stump out and entertain people by acting like his dad. And he thought he was having fun and doing entertainment. And one time in this sermon that he was preaching, it just struck him all of a sudden. And he was overcome with grief and overcome with guilt because he saw what a fool he was. And he became a very successful preacher. And he was doing it by imitation and for entertainment. So look, it doesn't make any difference. And I want to say this, and please, I'm not being insincere or irreverent. If the gospel could be preached by a dog and you heard it, you could be saved. Because it is the gospel that's the power of God unto salvation and not the messenger. That's what I want you to see. It's the message, not the messenger. So if some fool wants to entertain people down at the marketplace by saying, here's old Paul, let me tell you what he said, and he would repeat the gospel and those people hear it, the Spirit of God could convict them in their heart and soul, and if they responded, they could be saved, because it's the message that saved. It is the power of God unto salvation. Not a congregation, not a denomination, but it's the power of God. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. So one preaches Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to thy bonds. They're saying they're afraid if they don't keep up this railing, then they might turn me loose. So they keep spreading what I believe to make it so abhorrent that they will never turn me loose and finally consummate my imprisonment with my death. So Paul said, hey, go ahead and do it. But he said there's other preachers who preach out of love. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. They said there are other people who love Paul. There are other people who love God. Other people who love the gospel. And he said, some of these people go ahead and preach. And I'm so thankful for that, because they know that I'm competent to defend the gospel. I am confident to explain it in such a way that I can show you that it's what God is pleased with. And Paul said then, just sort of throw up his hands and with a smile on his face, says, what then? I mean, what of it? Hey, what are we all so sad about? What then? I mean, this sounds like a real serious situation. I'm in jail, probably going to be executed. But in the meantime, I've got at least 2 to 3 years that I can preach. They'll let me even go to someone's house perhaps and preach. We're not really sure, but that could have happened under guard. Notwithstanding in every way, that is, you can't look at what's happened to me in a bad light. It doesn't make any difference how you look at it, from in here, out there, from where you are, from where it doesn't matter. Notwithstanding every way you want to look at it, whether in pretense, whether that is whether people are put-ons or whether they're really truthful in what they're saying or they believe it, Christ is preached. City of Rome, I hear about people in the marketplace. I hear about people in the homes. I hear about it in Caesar's palace. Everybody comes in and says, Paul, you know, I heard somebody preaching and they preached with love. I heard some people preaching and they were stirring up trouble. Paul said, it doesn't make any difference. Christ is preached, and therein do I rejoice, and yea, I will rejoice. I'll be happy. I'll praise God. I'll sing songs that praise God, like he did in the Philippian jail at midnight. And people in the other cells can hear me, and they can be saved. People, that's what church is all about. It's all about preaching the truth. It's not about entertainment. It's not about finding a place where your daughter can get married someday or your son can find a good wife. It's not about any of those things. It's about worshiping God, preaching the gospel so people can have their sins forgiven and become children of God. That's what it's all about. Let's stand and sing, please.